greed has poisoned souls, has barricaded the world with hate. We think too much and feel too little. We think too much and feel too little. More than machinery, we need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness. Without these qualities, life will be violent. And all will be lost. All will be lost. Do not despair. The hate of men will pass. And dictators die. Dictators die. And the power they took from the people will return to the people. Will return to the people. Let us all unite. Let us fight for a new world. To do away with greed. Now let us fight to free the world, to fulfill that promise. Let us all unite.
Welcome back, folks, here in the Corporation Nation. We're talking to Patrick Jordan today. We're talking about this document, Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars. Always a debated topic as to whether this was a creation of very clever people, or a creation of very clever people in government. Yeah, not sure about the answer to that, but I honestly don't care, because when something rings, as we talked about earlier, as a self-evident truth, when everything in the document, when everything in the protocols of Zion, when everything in the Iron Mountain Report reflects the current state of being of things, well then, it's pretty hard to say it's a fraud, or a copy, or a plagiarism, or whatever it is the going conspiracy is. I really more rely on how it actually applies to our real situation than I care who the author is. And it's kind of the same way with quotes. I don't care who said the quote. If the quote is accurate, even though it's evil and said by an evil man, I'm going to use the quote, right? Because it applies. So anyway, Patrick, it's always good to gibber with you. And I like you. I like the way this is going with you. With you comparing this whole thing to the energy model, and that really is what this document kind of talks about. It talks about us as the energy. That the consent of the people is what creates the entire energy. It says consent as an energy release mechanism. Wow. Can be considered, and it talks about the artificial womb. In fact, I'm just going to read that real quick from the, because this really applies. The artificial womb, from the time a person leaves its mother's womb, its every effort is directed towards building, maintaining, and withdrawing into artificial wombs, which we call, another word is matrix, various sorts of substitute protective devices or shells. The objective of these artificial wombs is to provide a stable environment for both stable and unstable activity, to provide shelter for the evolutionary process of growth and maturity, i.e. survival, to provide security for freedom, and to provide defensive protection for offensive activity. We are engaged in pretty much offensive activity all the time, when you think about it. This is equally true of both the general public and the elite. However, there is a definite difference in the way each of these classes go about the solution of problems. So we always go back to the solution to the problem model. Of course, it's the quote-unquote elite who create all the problems, so that we are busy, busy, busy in our incorporated working lives, solving problems, making new products to solve social and economic problems and environmental problems, all about the problem, problem, problem. So we stay busy, busy, busy. We form busyness. We get employed and used to solve the problems that don't really exist unless we are actually part of that economic thing, unless we are the very thing that makes the whole thing tick. And our system of food and our system of water and clothing and everything else, is if it's dependent upon that artificial womb, if all of the stuff that we do and everything we acquire is dependent on the money from that womb and the work from that room and the marks and the numbers and everything else, well then, guess what? We are the artifice. We are the political structure, the economic structure that is shocked all the time, purposefully offended.
The introduction to your show has the line, this world is rich and can provide for everyone. That talks about a battery that is at full charge, and as long as you have a closed loop on that system, the energy will flow through the circuit, energize the circuit, and return back to the battery. That's how it works. And what I'm seeing now, just through our conversation, is that we're, again, I always have to jump to biology. We're talking about a parasite, a load. That's what they call it in electronics. There is a load out there where there's this artificiality of other people and the court system that then applies a load. It pulls and parasitizes the energy out of this natural flowing system that could be there for everybody to use. And I got a quote from Silent Weapons that just blows us out of the water. But as a teenager, I was told by some relatives that had gone to, like, Italy. And there's roundabouts and, you know, just crazy traffic there. Nobody pays attention to any kind of, like, semblance of order. And these two guys had a minor fender bender. They get out of their cars. They weren't yelling at each other. They just looked at what, you know, happened to the cars. They saw that each other was okay, you know, because they were more concerned about physical injury than they were the cars. They gave each other a hug, and they freaking drove off. Imagine that happening in the United States of America, where if you even ding somebody's plastic fender and chip off a piece of paint, you got a freaking lawsuit. So all of this artificiality is the physical load that's being put on our circuit. The circuit could run. You know, so you dinged my car, so I dinged your car. Get over it. Walk away. So here's what it is in Silent Weapons, Quiet Wars. Political introduction. So this is at the head of the document. In 1954, it was well recognized by those in positions of authority that it was only a matter of time, only a few decades from 1954, before the general public would be able to grasp and upset the cradle of power, for the new technology were accessible for a public utopia as they were for providing a private utopia. The issue of primary concern, that of dominance, so they want to be over us, revolved around the subject of energy sciences. And Clint, you've got a perfect description of what utopia is. We could, just like the introductory music to your show, we could have utopia if we used their methods, but they're using it parasitically against us.
Well, and, yeah, and this is the ironic part about utopia, is that, you know, you think about your garden or your, you know, your backyard, and you've decorated it, you've planted things, and you've created sort of, you know, maybe you've put up a topiary, you know, like, because that's what utopia actually means, is topiary. The EU stands for good, and the DYS is a dystopia. Literally means bad. So utopia is a good topiary. It's that simple, folks. When you go to your local gardens, your local place that grows a lot of plants, topiary, whatever it's called, you're going to a place that has a utopia. They've created a sort of artifice of utopia. Utopian is a visionary idealist, right? So, you know, we demonize this word, amazingly. And yet we all live, technically, in some form of utopia. Because utopia literally means, it means, in nature, it means place where man hasn't touched. Middle of nowhere, whether that's a volcano, or whether that's a beautiful, beautiful meadow in the middle of a forest, that is true utopia. The closest thing we can get is to build a topiary that is in harmony with utopia, with nature. Unfortunately, we don't do that. And so it's, you think of it that way, utopia is really just the building of a Garden of Eden, if you will, right? We can do that, but not with the structure that controls our very thoughts, makes us live in buildings that are so against nature, with a water supply that is not flowing, that is not, you know, nothing about our system makes sense. It is not pro-life, it is not pro-nature, it is not pro-God, it is not pro-anything. So, you know, all we have to do is build a topiary. It's kind of funny when you think of it that way.
A topiary monastery.
Yeah.
So, what I want to try to communicate to people, I saw a documentary on PBS where supposedly, these are all legends, I can't confirm it, I wasn't there, Tesla created a coil that had a motor in it that was tuned to the frequency of his body, which he used as an antenna to channel the power of the planet through him to this device. Oh, wait. Okay, so he created a coil, and he hooked the coil to a motor, and he was able to put out, let's just say, for the sake of argument, 3 horsepower. He could turn the motor with power that he simply channeled through his body because he had a coil that he tuned to his frequency. So it's kind of like having your kid hold the rabbit ears on a TV in the 1960s. You know, a little to your left. No, your other left. You know, the kid was actually channeling the energy to bring the TV into, you know, focus. If that's out there, why are we so incompetent to redo his experiments to come up with the catchphrase of free energy over unity energy? Why is that inaccessible to us? Because this document hints that within the energetic systems, there are things that are tappable that could provide for every single person on the planet, yet they've got us hooked up just like the pod people in the Matrix. We are the copper tops according to this document supposedly written in 1979.
Well, that goes back again to the positive nature of things. We're living in the weakest aspect we possibly can, which is to capture the positive energy of ourselves, of nature. So we're literally ignoring the vast potential of everything that is basically, if you will, uncontrolled, right? We live in a control structure, which is the positive. That the positive is where we tap into, and we ground the negative, right?
Oh, wow.
We put it right back into the damn ground. So, does that make sense to you when you know that the most of the power is in the negative? Why do we do that? Well, that's how you control things. You ditch anything that is good, and you, which is negative, and it's a bizarre concept, and you harness the positive, because I suppose if you thought about it, you'd probably say, well, if you took the positive and the negative together, then you'd have a powerhouse. You know, you could do just about anything. But it's just you're absolutely correct in the notion that to ask why. You know, it's a very legitimate question to ask why. Why are we in the state we're in? We should be, according to the looking back at history and our recent history, the amount of technology that has just come out just recently, we should be so far much farther advanced than we actually are. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I don't know about you, but I look around, I don't see anything advancing. I mean, I see the gadgets, anything that can be controlled and sold to us, advancing, but nothing that is beneficial to anything, including our life systems, health, anything that is actually advanced. Nothing is being put forward. For God's sake, how can we possibly not have a cure for all of these diseases? Right? I mean, that doesn't even make sense when you think about it. So all the good stuff is being held back. And that's exactly what this, like you said, what this document says, is these people are eventually going to figure it out on a grand scale that we've been holding back everything that's good for ourselves. So we need to do this. We need to create a new system. We need to dumb them down. You know, it's disgusting.
Can I do something drastic? I wanted to revisit. We'll stay on topic, but I just want to revisit an idea that you had brought out in the first hour. If you can't prove a negative, then is it a trap to show up in court and they ask you, are you pleading guilty or not guilty? If you plead not guilty, isn't that a negative, and aren't you in a trap because you can't prove a negative?
Well, think of it this way. If I go to court and let's say I'm a dog and I go to court.
What kind of dog?
And the judge asks me, are you dog or not dog?
Okay.
I can only be there if I'm a dog. It's a dog court.
Okay.
Nothing else can be a dog. So if I say, it doesn't matter if I say I'm guilty or not guilty, my guilt lies in the fact that I'm already a dog. The guilty and the not guilty is only for the facts at bar, the evidence at bar, the actual statue that just happens to be broke. But when you're appearing in court, you're already appearing as someone that is prejudged.
Okay.
You're pre-doomed. You were doomed at birth. You're whole. That's what it is to live in sin, to live as a fictional person. To live in hell, you have to be dead, right? You're not alive. So you're appearing as something that is already guilty. Everything you do in the fiction as a person is an act against God. That's what legal means. So you're already guilty. It doesn't matter what you plead. And guess what? Pleading is another word for praying.
Mm-hmm.
You're praying to the God, the magistrate, the judge, for forgiveness because you have no God to pray to except that man. See, this is what you have to know this. So you have to know that when you go into that court, you cannot do anything in the negative. You can't rely on anything negative. You're strictly in a positive place. Everything there must be proven. If you appear as something negative, you're not going to be seen. So I know that sounds kind of weird, kind of nuts, but that's exactly what it is.
Well, and what I try to do is I want to reduce things down to their prime, where there are no numbers that can be divisible by except one and that number. So you're calling the thing as it is. And if we're looking at the human race as nothing but copper top batteries that are being drawn off, parasitized by some other system, then as you say, the only option we have is to break that connection and separate ourselves from the circuit. Because everything that we do, every tax that we pay, every fine, penalty, and injury that we sustain under these people serves them. We are building them. We're feeding them.
Well, to put it in an easy to understand way, you just think of an employee of Walmart. All right, and then think of someone who's not an employee of Walmart. And guess what? Both of us get a call to come in and see the manager of Walmart, right? The magistrate of Walmart, right? One of the judges, doesn't matter, whichever god. And so, I'm like, all right, well, maybe he wants to give me a coupon or something. So I go in. I'm not employed by him. I have no binding anything to him. And he proceeds to sit me down and ream me because I didn't, spend enough money. So I say, screw you, and I leave, and I get the hell out of there. But what does the employee do? I mean, what does the employee do? The citizen of Walmart goes in, and he sits there, and he gets reamed out because he's not doing his job correctly. What does he do? Oh, well, he's employed. He's chained. He's literally got the ball and chain of bondage to it. He's a dummy. he's a straw man. He is part of that corporation. Can he say screw you without consequences? Absolutely not. Can now when I went in there, you know, what do they say? Well, are you an employee of Walmart? And I say absolutely not. Piss off. And there's not a damn thing they can do. But if the employee goes in there and says, well, you know, are you an employee of Walmart? Well, can he say no? Can he say no? I'm not an employee of Walmart. Are you kidding? I mean, it's a citizen can't go into a court and say he's not a citizen. He can go in and pretend to be his agent, his attorney, but he can't go in. I mean, you can't deny the relationship. You can't, you know. So the only, in other words, the only solution there is to not be connected to it, to not be one of those terminals that gets its energy from that system. Right? Where do you get your energy? Well, not from you. Therefore, I don't have any obligation to you. You can't tell me what to do so that I can suck energy from you, and you can suck it from me.
That's the solution. This is how I wanted to open the show, so that this is further down in the document. By shock testing, this is my favorite topic. That's why I freaked out when you had mentioned it. It is found that there is a direct relationship between the availability of money flowing in an economy and the psychological outlook and responses of the masses of people dependent upon that availability. For example, there is a measurable quantitative relationship between the price of gasoline and the probability that a person will experience a headache, feel a need to watch a violent movie, smoke a cigarette, or go to a tavern for a mug of beer. And I have seen this, and I rarely experience it, because, Clint, I leave the house maybe once or twice a month. So my gasoline expenditure is minimal, but I feel the pressure when I go out a month later and see that the price has jumped like 40 cents within a month. Or if I go into town, I'll start my day, and within a couple hours, the price will jump 10 cents. Now, I don't get a headache. I don't watch movies. I don't smoke, and I don't drink. So I am partially out of the system, but they can still affect me by that one hook of the gasoline.
You're kind of boring.
I am. I am indeed.
Well, no, yeah, I get it. That is just, it's just a symbol, you know, it's a symbol that you have a dependent. And, you know, speaking of that, let's go to another chapter. It's just, these are really small little chapters. How about the political structure of a nation? Dependency. The primary reason why the individual citizens of a country create a political structure is a subconscious wish or desire to perpetuate their own dependency relationship of childhood.
Mm.
Oh, really? Really? So you think I really want the state to be my mama? You think I want to suck off the state's tit? That's what
founding
you think?
Others. Father figure.
Father, son, per the son, remember? That's what Persia did it. Simply put... Simply put, yeah, the founding fathers. Simply put, they want a human god to eliminate all risk from their life. Pat them on the head, kiss their bruises, put a chicken on every dinner table, clothe their bodies, tuck them into bed at night, and tell them that everything will be all right when they wake up in the morning. This public demand is incredible. And think about it, folks, we do demand it, don't we? You know what? We demand it. We demand that the teat be served, that we can lay our heads on it. The public demand is incredible. So the human god, the politician, meets incredibly with incredibility with incredibility by promising the world and delivering absolutely nothing. Because there's nothing to deliver. That's the whole thing. It's all fiction. So, who is the bigger liar? The public or The Godfather. The public behavior is surrender born of fear, laziness, and expediency. It is the basis of the welfare state as a strategic weapon useful against a disgusting public. Now, if you don't think that describes you, or if you don't think that describes just about every one of us, you know, I don't know what to tell you. Because we all, whether we realize it or not, we all participate in this system in some way, shape, or form. Whether it's buying gasoline once an eon.
Thank you.
Or our telephone service, our internet that allows us to listen to RBN and myself and others and hear the craziness that we're spewing. Whatever it is, we're all participating in this. We can't deny that. We demand that we have internet. You know, we don't demand that we have cable TV. We demand that we have these things. We demand public education. We demand all kinds of things that harm us. So we are kind of a disgusting public, and see, that public word is the whole thing about it. The nation is public. We've talked about this over and over, the difference between being private and being public. If everything we do is public, well, then, yeah, the state is our mother. The state is our father. It's the parents betray a doctrine. We can't escape it.
What I don't understand, Clint, is anybody that has read the Bible and is conversant in it never internalizes, never applies the story of Esau and Jacob. Esau came in from hunting, according to the Douay version. I like mixing up. So the Catholic Bible, the Douay Reims, said he was out on a mission to hunt and kill Nimrod. He killed Nimrod in his sleep, and so Nimrod's men were chasing him. He was so exhausted from being chased after having committed murder that he approached his brother and said, I need to eat. And so his brother, being a Jew, Jude the Jew, and said, okay, give me your birthright for a bowl of oatmeal.
And he sold it.
And he sold it out of convenience. And when I read Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars, and the word you use, I was trying to look it up really quick, expediency. To me, that is the story of Esau and Jacob, where for the ease, just plug me into the matrix. I just want to think that it tastes like a steak. Because I'm going to tell you something, Clint. I work 17 hours a day, whether it's inside writing books or outside in the garden. It's hard labor. It'll make you sweat. It'll make you stink. It'll make you dirty. It'll make you go, what in the hell am I doing here? But I do it because that's what life really is. And I'm not going, plug me back into the matrix. I just want to be, you know, a drone in the hive. I want to completely pull out of the matrix.
A lot of people feel that way, and we've certainly been trying to discover the method. So we'll be back, folks. Stay tuned. You of your liberty, privacy, civil rights, and dignity. You want some more?
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Recent events have shown just how vulnerable we are to deadly viruses, bacteria, and fungus. These diseases are all caused by infectious pathogens that often get the upper hand on conventional medical treatments. Now more than ever, there's a great need for a product that will help protect us. Look no further. Supernatural Silver can provide immune system support to help fight off these deadly pathogens. Supernatural Silver is a new and vastly improved type of silver solution that's safe and extremely effective against 143 types of bacteria, both forms of viruses, mold, and yeast. Supernatural Silver can be taken orally or used topically and can be used in a nebulizer or vaporizer for inhalation. With over 180 scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, and research institutions, Supernatural Silver is a powerful weapon against disease. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off your entire order. Give you and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
Americans are reeling from Obamacare, higher prices, and an epidemic of policy lapses. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com has you covered. World-class medical and surgery at one of Asia's most modern hospitals. 300 doctors, surgeons, and dentists serving 300,000 patients a year. Fractions of U.S. prices. Friends or family forced to go out of pocket? Avoid bankruptcy. Tell them to run. Run like hell. Hit us up now. We'll show you how. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
Free Your Mind returns to Philadelphia April 10th, 11th, and 12th, 2015, with a three-day conference featuring top-caliber whistleblowers and researchers from across the country who will shed light upon our world's problems and bring forward empowering solutions. To get your tickets and to donate, go to www.freeyourmindconference.com. Free Your Mind. It's your world. It's your future. Empower yourself.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here is what people are saying.
Oh, I had a problem with breathing. When I stopped to do some walking, I had a problem. I had a heart attack, my second one. I take this pill and I feel great.
I had three bypass 10 years ago. And I was in bed almost 24 hours a day. And painkillers out of this world. I started taking this, I'm down to almost no painkillers at all. And it helped my circulation 100%. My medical doctor, and I went to see him, and he could not believe it. There's no way it went down that fast. He could not believe it. I showed him what I was taking. He said, don't stop taking it. I wouldn't do without it. It's unbelievable.
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
Science is simply baffling to understand what this unappealing object is all about.
Information in the form of energy streams in simultaneously through all of our sensory systems in the form of energy. All our sensory systems, and then it explodes into this enormous collage.
We're talking to Patrick Jordan today, vaccinefraud.com. So, Patrick, you know, a lot of people say that. And the concept of unplugging, getting out of the matrix completely, not wanting to have anything to do with it, et cetera, that's perfectly understandable. The thing about it is that people think that that is some action that they can take from within the system, and that's the great fallacy of it all. Again, you know, you're down the rabbit hole looking for the entrance. You're in a box looking to see the outside of the box. It just can't happen. The forest of the trees, etc. So, you know, we have to understand that the simplest answer is always the correct one, because the simplest one is usually the one that brings us back into a very simple, natural state of being. And what is that? What is that answer? It's so simple that you want to kick yourself. It is simply to quit. But you see, the problem is not that we're in the system, it's the problem is that we consent to the system. We are recognized and considered by the system in a presumption that we are something we are not. So the problem is not that we are physically actually in it. The problem is this fictional character that we allow it to recognize us as. That's the problem. The problem There's no plugs, there's no chains, there's no, it's all voluntary. So there's not any issue with regards to that, although it certainly appears that way with the militarized police force and all of that, but the police can't touch you. Honestly, in a normal situation, if you can show them that you're not under their jurisdiction, they're never going to go against that. So there, it's a certain sense of volunteerism, but of course volunteerism, our notion of what volunteerism, our belief in what it is different than what they define it as in the legal system. And so, you know, again, the easiest answer is always the one. And how do you become separated from it? You quit. It's that simple. So let me read you this. Okay, this is the logistics section. Again, these are just real quick little paragraphs. Logistics from Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars. The successful application of a strategy requires a careful study of inputs, outputs, a strategy connecting the inputs and outputs, and the available energy sources to fuel the strategy. The study is called logistics. A logistical problem is studied at the elementary level first, and then levels of greater complexity are studied as the synthesis of elementary factors. This means that a given system is analyzed, broken down into its subsystems, and those in turn are analyzed until by this process one arrives at the logistical atom, the original, the foundation, which is the individual. This is where the process of synthesis properly begins, and at the time of the birth of the individual. And that's followed by the artificial womb. From the time a person leaves its mother's womb, its every effort is directed towards building, maintaining, withdrawing into artificial wombs. Now remember, folks, now Patrick, you said you want to withdraw from the matrix. I perfectly agree. What is the matrix is the proper question. How can you withdraw from something if you don't know what it is? Well, this is actually telling you the answer to that. Birth, you must be born into it. You literally must be birthed into the matrix. So what is the matrix? As we have discussed, the legal definition of the matrix is the original document that puts you into the matrix in the first place. Your birth certificate. That is literally everything when it comes to the artificial womb. Because the definition of matrix in Samuel L. Jackson's dictionary, Samuel Jackson, is womb. Okay, artificial womb. Alright, so, folks, if you want to get out of the matrix, you first have to realize that there is no matrix, there's nothing there, except what you believe in and what you consent to, and consent is another chapter in here. You have to realize that first, and then you have to literally sever that. Unplug, sever that tie, stop believing that you are the certificate, you are birthed, stop believing it, go back to that original state of being, no longer recognize artifice, and know the language so that you never have to be pulled back into any of those inputs and outputs. See, and that's the hardest part, Patrick, is it's a belief structure, it's a religion. And again, as we discussed in the beginning, there is no significant difference between religion mm-hmm. and government. Right. They come from the same source. They rely on each other to exist. Therefore, you must realize that they are both at the same time. They are the Gemini. They are the twins. And unless you get that, unless you understand that your whole participation is in this thing is your religious participation in the state, then it, all based on belief and faith, well, there's no getting out.
Esau and Jacob were twins. They were fraternal twins.
Of course they were.
Interesting. This is very interesting, the correspondences going on here. So here's my problem. You know, I'm just going to speak frankly. None of this is rehearsed, Clint. I could live off the land, but there are certain things I cannot provide for. So I would have to exchange or barter with another human being. But that would mean that other human being would also have had to been removed from the hive. Because outside, I would be in commerce again, wouldn't I?
No, no. See, that's the problem. When you go and you participate in an action, and I'm just using words, the action, the actual ceremony, if you will, of saying, I'll give you this chicken if you give me that little pig.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
You've just exchanged considerations, right?
Yeah.
I've just put words on those things, right? But remember, all words are lies.
Okay.
Okay, so if I'm using the words of the fiction, if I'm using the words that are programmed into the Matrix,
mm-hmm.
and I'm using those words and believing that by using them I'm part of the Matrix, I'm a person inside the Matrix, then yeah, I'm going to get myself in trouble. It's all based on belief. But if I've severed that tie, I said I'm no longer going to be a commercial entity, then there. I guess what I'm saying is that if you could go Patrick, literally, if you could go through your life and you could never say another word or write your name or ever use any word whatsoever the rest of your life, then what would you then consider that trade, that barter, that commercial activity to be? Because it needs a word. It needs a description. It needs a legal entity, a legal fiction to be a commercial transaction, to be regulable. In other words, you're taking it from a negative state of me giving you a chicken and you giving me a porker. You're taking it from that negative thing, which is just something that happens without a name, without a title, without a jurisdiction, without a definition, without a description, right? And you're giving it a legal name. You're making it into a noun, an adjective, or a verb. And therefore, it is a positive act. It goes from being negative to being positive. You've just, because you believe that this is a regulable action of the government, you've just turned the beauty of nature, the beauty of interpersonal contact that has nothing to do with the state, into an act of the state. It's no longer an act of God, it's an act of the state. Simply because you're attaching a word. That's all it is.
You just described the entirety of Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars, where it is an electronic circuit where they add inductors, resistors, and capacitors to pull off the energy. So if the world was a closed loop, if I simply pointed at your pig while holding out a chicken and we did an exchange, that battery, so to speak, that thing, all men are created equal, all men are created with a full battery charge that is self-sufficient throughout their life, we would simply have exchanged energy, like the flow of energy going from a battery to the spark plug back to the ground terminal.
The only difference, Patrick, is that no one has, the only one that has harnessed the energy is you and myself.
Right.
There's no third party. It's
There's
all
no
about the third party.
Drawing it off with a
right.
load. Exactly.
Right. And everything, as you've discovered, seems to be of a parasitic nature. We can all be parasites. We all have the capacity to be parasites. And again, I think that's where the scriptures really come in. The knowledge that is in the scriptures are what guides you, and certainly what has made me understand all of this. What allows you to operate in a capacity that is negative, that is purely under, quote unquote, the power of the universe, God, whatever. It's just that simple. So the whole legal concept, again, you know, when they talk about an act of God, what are they talking about? They're talking about something that is accidental, that is destructive, that can't be harnessed, that can't be avoided by man's designs, that have nothing to do with something that man did, something that happened completely outside of any design or function or jurisdiction or law of man. Now, if you can figure out, and it's not that hard, how to operate in the capacity that you're always in that state of being an act of God, where nothing you do is rehearsed, where nothing you do is habit or custom or legal or illegal or anything like that, then you've just figured out how to break free from the matrix. That simple. Because what's happening in the matrix? They look for you, they find you, because everybody's a potential agent. We're all acting in agency. They know where you are because everything you do is being recorded, it's being monitored, that's the thing that it boils down to, is to become an unregular, to become a absolutely unplanned entity. That's what they hate the most. Something that can't be controlled except by the one thing that controls them, which is God. God's law. The laws of nature and equity. Equity meaning in harmony with the laws of nature. Do no harm, because unless they can get you to do harm, they can't control you. And by putting you into the matrix, by birthing you into the system, they've made you automatically something that is born, birthed in harm. You are a harm. You are a damage. You're a distraint. You're a distress. You're all of the stupid words that we keep defining. That is what a person is. You're acting in a capacity that is not natural. So they've got you. That's the plug.
And so just because we're having like a personal conversation that the whole world has to be listening into, here's that quote again that you brought up on the political structure. This public behavior is a surrender born of fear, laziness, and expediency. So if I went to somebody else and I said, oh, I really like those pile of rocks, I'll trade you a chicken. Most of the responses I would get is, I don't want your chicken, I want an FRM. Why? Because they're afraid that there might be something wrong with the chicken. They're lazy. They want FRNs because they have the belief in that fake piece of paper, but not me or my chicken. And so I'm just going to put to you, you know, this is real-time conversation that we're having. How then do I, and I use this word, it's probably the wrong word, how do I prosecute my life in a hive that is hostile to me being an individual?
Well, it's not, you know, as I'm discovering, it's not necessarily hostile to it. It's just that you have to figure out the system itself and how to use it or abandon it correctly so that it has no jurisdiction over you. Now, again, one of the things I'm really realizing by interviewing and talking to this KW guy out there who's really figured out this large chunk of the puzzle is that, you know, to put it succinctly, I mean, talking about the tribal mentality, mm-hmm. Every one of us has a people. Every one of us has a people, and therefore every one of us has a quote-unquote a sovereignty. Now, if your parents were forced here under slavery, if your parents moved here under indentured servitude, whether you were black, Chinese, or a white a Scottish or Irish person, doesn't matter. You're probably not one of the people of the United States, but you might be a people of some other nation, another nation that was created for the benefit of those people. This is why so many nations, for so long, the Dutch looked Dutch, the Chinese looked Chinese, the Japanese looked Japanese, different Africans looked like different Africans, because they were a people, and they were based on blood. And that is what is probably the most horrific crime against this notion, is the mixing of blood. Now, oh, no, that's racist. No, it's not. It's actually not at all. It has everything to do with the illegitimizing of the blood, so that no one has a place to actually claim their blood rights from their ancient ancestors. It's very important to as we say, corrupt the blood. And that's, what attainder means, is to corrupt the blood. So they've figured out this sort of artificial way to corrupt the blood through birth, through the birth process, by allowing us to attain ourselves, basically. So, you know, like I said, everybody has a people. And I think that's something that's important. And if you don't, you can start your own. You can bond with other people. You can create your own and be self-determined. And the international law recognizes that, the law of nations, etc. So I guess what it boils down to is the people of each nation, the sovereignty of each nation, whether it's the king and their family, etc., they are the machines that run the matrix. Okay, the common people are the ones plugged into it. They're the ones that don't have the blood right to be the machines, to be the beneficiary of all of our labor. So anyway, real quick break, we'll be back.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule 1 drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership, and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
It is like a finger pointing away to the moon. Don't concentrate on the finger or you will miss all that heavenly glory.
Empty your mind. Be formless, shapeless, like water. Water can flow or it can crash. Be water, my friend. Running water never goes stale, so you gotta just keep on flowing.
So fun times today, Patrick. One of the tenets, though, And see, this is where it all seems to fall apart. One of the great tenets of the natural law, of God's law, the do no harm concept, of the negativity of that process is the notion of duty. Now, in a positive sense, duty means the obligation of contract. So our duties as citizens is anything they tell us. Remember our Title 42, Section 1981, our rights, you know, it is our duty to be put in pain, punished, taxed, licensed, extorted, exacted, in any way possible that they can think of. That's our duty to accept that and consent to that. All right. Now, in the negative sense, where it says you can't do any of that to another man, if I say, hey, I want your chicken and I'll give you a bunch of rocks, the man with the chicken can say no, and the man with the bunch of rocks must, according to duty, say, okay, I won't bother you again. If I want to buy your house and you say no, I won't bother you. I might make a different offer, but I'm not going to force anything or take any action against you. See, this is the moral compass that has to accompany anyone that's acting out there. And the legal realm sort of does a substitute for that. Well, if you get out of line, we've got police and military and all these different fines and fees to make sure that you don't harm anybody. So we're going to harm you so that you don't do any harm. Well, that's not equity. That's just extortion. So, and it's our right. So it's our duty to obey the extortion and the exaction. So the big difficult part about living the life that we're talking about, getting out of the matrix, is self-government. And that means two things. You treat others as you'd have them treat you, and you do no harm because you expect no one else to do harm. That means you have to respect the negative rights of everyone else. That means you can't force anything on anybody. It all has to be voluntary, just as our system is voluntary now, except it is your duty not to do what this system is doing to us. And that's the hard part, because you have to have a moral conscience in everything you do. And if you don't, the whole thing's going to fall apart. And you know, that's probably why not very many people are participating in that kind of system. It takes a lot of knowledge. It takes an extremely amount of studying to uncover what the legal system is before you can ever understand what God's system is. You know, so it's tough, man.
Yeah, and you just described my concern about being ejected from the pod in the matrix, going down the water slide, and ending up in the sewer with nobody there.
Well, see, and that's what people are afraid of, because, you know, when you talk about death, right, you're talking about being banished. What people are afraid of is losing their agency, losing their mark, losing their ability to conduct commerce. They're actually afraid of going from being dead to being alive. They're afraid of heaven. They're afraid of utopia. That's the irony of it. People are afraid to do anything that is good and wholesome because they don't have a permit for it. Right? That's the irony of this whole thing. Is that literally we're all walking around abusing each other because we're afraid if we do something right, we're going to be excommunicated and we're not going to have the privilege anymore of abuse.
Oh, wow.
I mean, that's the bottom line, man. Hey, thanks for coming on today. Always a pleasure. VaccineFraud.com. Get the books. Take care.
With financial uncertainty.